It's now time for the Billy C Show, part of the BillyCBoxing.com network.
And we're coming to you live from the Billy C Studios in Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Calogero, and it's time for the Billy C Show. Good morning, good day, good evening, whenever you're watching, whenever you're listening. I hope you're doing okay. Today's show is being brought to us in part by the Title Bout Championship computer game. If you're looking for a great simulation game, look no further than the Title Bout. Just get yourself a copy right now. Visit our website, www.billycboxing.com, and click on the Title Bout banner. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by the Southern Gourmet Spice Company. Hey, listen, if you want the best spices to put on your food, especially Kenny Bears, I feel like Porky Pig, School of English today. Kenny Bears barbecue sauce, the best. Check it out, southerngourmetspice.com. Tell them Billy C sent you. And finally, today's show is being brought to us in part by my book, Tom Molyneux, From Bondage to Baddest Man on the Planet, is available right now where all good books are sold. You can get a copy right now while you're watching or and listening to this show by visiting barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. All right, the post-fight show for Canelo Alvarez against Khalid Plant. I thought it was a decent fight. I thought it was a one-man show. Canelo dominated the fight. He won officially by 11th round TKO, 1 minute and 5 seconds, dropping Khalid Plant not once but twice. It was his first and second knockdowns of his career and his first loss. Plant drops to 21 wins, one loss, with 12 of his wins coming by knockout. And Canelo Alvarez, well, he unifies the super middleweight belts. He's got them all. WBC, WBO, IBF, WBA, Ring Magazine's belt. I even think I saw the IBO belt there. But in any event, he's the unified 168-pound champion. He improves to 57 wins, one loss, two draws, and 39 of his wins coming by knockout. A couple of things I noticed. You know, Canelo delivers his punches exactly how I would love fighters to deliver their punches. I mean, he digs his punches into his opponents. You know, he missed a few punches tonight. I give credit to the defensive skills of Plant. Unfortunately, he had to focus on defense to keep Canelo off of him and ultimately couldn't do any offense. I thought, listen, on my scorecards up to the time of the stoppage, I basically had Canelo winning every single round except for the fourth. I gave Canelo the first round. I know all the judges scored it for Plant, but he was being busy with the jab, but he wasn't really landing a hard grab. It wasn't like he was snapping that jab. And I thought that Canelo landed the harder punches. But in any event, joining us now, my man Alex Papali. What's up, Alex?
Good morning, Billy C.
Yeah, I'm surprised I'm even up, but what's your thoughts on the fight?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good stuff. I think, you know me, I love Oleksandr Usyk, but I think you got to say, I think Canelo had the better year. I think he could be fighter of the year. Well, let's hold off because we still have an incredible fight in Crawford.
I'm having some
Porter.
Technical difficulties. You keep talking.
Well, we still have that incredible fight with Crawford versus Porter coming up, so the year's not over yet. But we have more coming up in December as well. So, but I tell you, that was a tremendous performance. Kudos to Caleb Plant. Man, did he fight his ass off. And yeah, I think he did. We knew that the jab was a way to do well against Canelo, and he did use it effectively. But you're right. I thought that Canelo made adjustments in this fight that he wasn't able to make with Kovalev. And I think that Plant, obviously is a much more durable guy than Kovalev, because as tough as Kovalev was, I think we, you know, once you hit him, he kind of, you know, it's a little like Humpty Dumpty. He comes apart. But once you crack him, you know, whereas Caleb Plant, man, I was surprised at the body shots he took. Billy C, my God, he's going to have a rough morning.
Yeah, I loved the way, I was saying just before you came on, when Canelo delivers his punches, he digs them, and obviously he digs them to the body. I mean, you know, Canelo Alvarez, we talked about this last time, but especially after tonight's performance, is there any doubt he's the number one pound-for-pound fighter out there?
Not much. You really, you know, there's only two other guys, I think, to me, it's Usyk, in a way, Crawford. Those are the only other guys you could throw up there. You know, I would have loved to say Teofimo Lopez, but I think the inactivity is really harms him, you know, because I thought so highly of Lomachenko, and what he did was tremendous. But being pound for pound is so much of a what, to, in my mind, is so much of a what have you done for me lately? And I think what Canelo has done this year, how could you can't beat it? I mean, and again, what Usyk did again was tremendous. To beat Joshua, wow, that's huge. But I think Canelo might have went a little further tonight.
I think he had the right opponent. I think he had the right, taking nothing away from Plant. I think he had the right opponent. But joining us now, too, my man Dax Khan. What's up, Dax? What was your thoughts on the fight?
I thought Caleb Plant actually did better than expected.
Yeah, he did better than expected. But I thought his defense was good, but he couldn't launch any offense because he had to focus on the defense. Like I was saying to Alex, Canelo Alvarez, I mean he's become a relentless fighter, and there's no more starting out slow. He started slow in half of the first round. I still scored that first round. It was close, but I still gave that round to Canelo. What was your thoughts on the whole fight, Dax?
Like I said this on social media several times, whether or not it's my personal account or whether or not it was the show's account, that people are going to get overly excited anytime that Plant has a little bit of success. You know, Canelo's just reached that level where if he has a little bit of success, then all of a sudden people are saying, oh, see, he finally met this right guy. But Canelo, as I kind of came on, I heard Alex talking about Lomachenko, he's gotten to that point like Lomachenko. He takes a couple of rounds to collect data. And the fact that Canelo has such a good chin, and the fact that tonight there was times where he was allowing himself to get hit instead of rolling with those punches like he does on a regular basis that we've come to see him used to. But just like, this kind of reminded me of the Kovalev fight. Remember in the Kovalev fight around, I forget what round that was stopped in, but the round before that was stopped in, he looks over at Eddie in 10th. Yeah, so he looks over at Eddie in the 8th. Because I remember it was two rounds before it got stopped, and he's asking him, what to do. Should I turn up? And he goes, just relax. It's going to happen. Relax. Canelo just went out there and did what Canelo does, and in that 10th round, he scored the stoppage. Now, Caleb Plant, again, to his credit, he fought a good fight. He was fast. He just didn't have nothing to keep him off him. If Callum Smith, who hits very hard, as we've seen with the Castillo knockout, if Triple G and a whole host of other guys could not dent Canelo's chin, I don't think see why anybody thought that Caleb Plant was going to be able to dent Canelo's chin. But most of all, the fact that Callum Smith had said, I am a genuine super middleweight. Canelo's never been in with somebody like me before, and he's not going to be able to deal with the fact that I can take his power and keep firing back. And then there was a moment where somebody showed a little clip of Plant shelled up on the ropes, very much like Callum Smith did, very much like Kovalev did. Why? Because as soon as you open up, Canelo hits you hard. And this is where he has become. He's just become that good. Now, just a quick little stat. on this in his now with this fight in his last 10 fights, Canelo has beaten 9 world champions, a lineal champion, a multi-division champion, 2 unified champions, 4 undefeated champions across 3 divisions, who at the time when they faced Canelo combined is 319-10-3 with 228 knockouts. And 2 were on the pound for pound list.
There's no question that he's impressive. I mean, and as far as Plant goes, it's kind of a stupid statement considering, I guess he forgot that.
I should say nine, because the only one he hadn't faced, I meant to say, that was the champion in his last 10 fights was Yildirim,
contender. My point is that he beat Kovalev, and Kovalev was a light heavyweight. So what makes Plant think he couldn't take the punch? But as far as the card itself, I tell you, you know, DAZN really took over, I think, in boxing, because I thought that the presentation of this show was pretty poor. Mo, I mean, it was like he started off the event making me think it was like a WWE event. But the card itself, pay-per-view, no. I mean, the undercard fights were entertaining, but you paid your $80 for Canelo Alvarez. I mean, I thought the undercard was entertaining, but they weren't pay-per-view fights, right? What do you think, Alex?
It was like Tuesday night fights, Friday night fights quality, and then the main event was tremendous.
Right, you paid for that fight. You paid for that fight, but you got nothing else.
Right.
I thought the Rodriguez-Romeo fight was entertaining.
I think all three fights had entertainment value, and I think that they would be if that was like a Friday night or a Tuesday night, like the old USA days, I'd be very pleased watching that on basic cable. But to think that was the undercard for an $80 pay-per-view, nah.
I know. Hey, Dax, real quick, Ray Vargas, I mean, he looked good in that fight. He's trying to get a fight with Russell. I'm not so sure his lack of power is going to help him much in the next division. I mean, what do you think? I mean, Gary Russell, obviously he's got a chin, but he's got hand speed. I don't know how he's going to fare moving up in weight.
One thing about Vargas is he has, well, Baez as well, but extremely long reaches for that division. I think he has over a 70-inch reach. Does he always use that to his advantage? No, but considering that Baez, even though he doesn't have the best resume, he's very tough. I actually thought it was going to be a gross mismatch, but considering that Vargas was out of the ring for 18 months, he looked more like he was out of the ring for about 6 months, considering that horrible broken leg that he suffered earlier in this year. I think he looked pretty good. Now give him a couple more fights, and I think that he's going to be truly ready to face the top names at 126 pounds. Would I suggest, if I was part of his team, that he take on and utilize that opportunity he has to fight Gary Russell next? No, that would be absurd, but I do think that in that division he's definitely going to be a factor.
Yeah, I just don't think he possesses enough power. I think that the way he fights, and you're right, if he utilizes his height, I mean, he boxes great. He throws so many punches, you know. I mean, he's fun to watch. Alex, I agree with you. The undercard was fun to watch, just not a pay-per-view. What's next for Canelo?
Well, I think that was one of the things I did want to mention is that I do think that Plant did show some of the things that we already knew was that if you're a guy who has a good jab, you can give Canelo some trouble. And if you have some good movement. However, what we also saw, and this is why I think this was a pound for pound quality, this was, you know, fighter of the year type performance, is that this guy, he deserves all the accolades of a Mexican great, because to me, that reminded me of Julio Cesar Chavez. He was relentless in his focus, and he was like the tide. He was coming in. There was no stopping him. Each round, he got closer and closer. And the thing that was impressive was that Plant was able at times. He has that style that he can fight in close. And he did catch Canelo with this sneaky short right twice. If he hit harder, maybe it would have been something, you know, it could have been very impactful. But you saw the look on Canelo's face like, wow, where'd that come from? However, he just doesn't hit hard enough for it to, you know, shift the momentum. But I think the thing about it is that Canelo, that pressure, there's not a lot of guys in the sport that can deal with that. Even if he does move now to light heavyweight, because I think that's the one of the things going forward. You know, this always happens, guys. I mean, as much as it's beautiful to get undisputed champions, what happens? We get an undisputed champion, then the next fight, nobody can agree on the mandatory. So the thing splinters again. It's like the Infinity Stones. They go off into different directions and different networks.
Like we are right now. But, you're right, though. I mean, that is the truth. You know, that's the problem with all these sanctioning bodies. It would be great.
So he'll probably move to light heavyweight?
I don't know. I don't know. He's going to have to challenge himself. I mean, they keep saying he's cleaned up the division in less than a year, but that's because one fight gave him all the belts, right? I mean, it's not like I don't know.
Four guys, I think. So
he
picked them all up.
No, three guys. He beat Plant. He beat Billy Joe Saunders.
Oh, right. That's right.
He took two belts off of Callum Smith.
Who
won those belts and the Ring Magazine belt in the World Boxing Super Series.
I forgot about Billy Joe Saunders. That was the fight that because he had been campaigning at middleweight, and that's right. He picked up the WBO super middleweight title, right? It was the WBO belt that he had, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, and if you notice, that was the face-breaker shot, the uppercut that put Plant down, and it was the first time as a prize fighter that he's tasted the canvas, too, which these are significant things. Now, granted, Caleb Plant's not, you know, he's not Gene Fulmer, but still, that was the first time that guy ever was down. And it was that same right uppercut that broke Billy Joe Saunders' face. And I do think that those rights to the body, I mean, man, that just a relentless pressure. That's just the word I keep coming back to, because I was just really impressed with that. He is one of the most, I could see why he's the most marketable in the sport, because you get what you pay for. He delivers, I thought.
Speaking of marketing, I tell you, it was pretty obvious that stadium was filled with Canelo fans. I mean,
everything he did.
No, you're right there. I mean,
they were cheering.
Yeah. But we know what that's like at the MGM Grand when we were there for Canelo and Jacobs. Not only was it fight night, but that whole week we were there, everybody's walking around nonstop with Canelo t-shirts, Canelo hats. It's almost like a cult.
I know, but Danny Jacobs had some followers. You know,
I'm not saying Plant.
Except for his hot wife, Plant didn't have anybody following him. I mean, you know, it just seemed totally one-sided. I mean, not even close.
No, I thought Plant, you know, like I said, I gave him rounds. You have to give him rounds. It wasn't, you know, a complete blowout and shutout.
Out of curiosity, what rounds did you give him?
Caleb Plant, let me see here. Let me pull up his...
I gave him I agree with you that the first was kind of close, but I thought he won the first.
Plant.
Even though Canelo...
I gave Caleb Plant 1, 3, 7, and 9.
Wow. I gave him round four. I gave him round four. That's it.
I only gave him rounds 1, 2, and 4.
I round one, I almost scored it for Plant. But at the last minute, I just said, you know what? You got to look at the whole 3 minutes. And although Plant was successful with the jab, it was like hardly touching Canelo. And when Canelo landed a couple of shots in that first round, they landed and they were substantial. I leaned towards Canelo in that. I did make a note. It's close, could have gone either way. But on my scorecard, I gave it to Canelo. And then subsequently, like I said, the only round that I gave to Plant was the fourth round. I thought that Plant made every round close. It's just that I couldn't give him the win. Like I found myself wanting to give him a, you know, like an attaboy round, but it just didn't work out, you know? It just, you know what I mean?
I think this is the big thing here, is that a lot of it has to do with what we always argue about in boxing, is what do you like more? Do you like volume? Do you like the busier guy? Or do you like the more damaging?
I don't mind a guy throwing jabs, but they gotta be substantial. He's got to land a couple of substantial jabs.
Right, and I think once you know, of course, there's a little bit of a you know, how much you got to go by how much measure it. You know what I mean by just the eye test.
Canelo was aggressor, right?
But again, he's aggressive in where he's standing, but he's not busy. So he's not throwing a lot of punches. He started to as the rounds went
he even started to in the first round. That was my point.
Well, see, I don't know. To me, that's the thing about Canelo that makes him so different. And I think it is because we're in this generation that we – and a lot of this is because of Floyd Mayweather, that counterpunching has become, and Roy Jones too, counterpunchers have become so popular. I like the Mike Tyson guys. I like more the Golovkin guy, the guy who's active, the guy who's pressing the fight.
Canelo,
that's not Canelo. Well, no, he's not, because he's pressing the fight in his position, but he's not throwing more punches. He's letting that guy lead, and then he's countering the hell out of him. And there is that brutal economy in how he counters the hell out of him. Slowly turns that up as the fight gets on. If rounds 8, 9 through 12, oh, man, Canelo's the most dangerous fighter on earth, rounds 9 through 12, I think.
The thing is that with him, we have learned he's not, as I stated earlier, he's not reckless. He's not worried. He's not worried about that punch coming. Not like Gervonta Davis, who knows that if he catches his opponent, most likely he's going to stop him with that uppercut. Canelo knows that make your punches count. And the way I was taught to score, and the way as years gone by that, you know, personally I score it, it's a little bit of both. One, who's setting the tempo? Now, a guy could be going out there jabbing, moving around, looking slick. You know, he can throwing guys at it. You know, out of their game plan, but are they doing that because they want to, or is it because the other guy's making them? You brought up Triple G. Triple G would make guys go in directions that they didn't want to go in because Triple G would just slowly close them off, and after the first time they feel that power, now all of a sudden they're doing things that they didn't want to do or they would not have normally done if they didn't feel that power. And Canelo slightly does that, like we've seen in the Callum Smith fight, the Billy Joe Saunders fight, for example. There was people saying, why is he throwing the uppercut from so far away? Remember, Canelo was throwing an uppercut from ridiculously far away, but you know, and you see him coming a little closer and a little closer, but as the rounds wore on, Canelo actually forced Billy Joe Saunders to keep dipping over to his left side so Canelo can catch him with the right. And this is what Canelo does, and that's the level he's at now. I do believe that if Caleb Plant would have thrown more punches, moved out of the way, and not caught return fire, then I think he may very well have been able to point Canelo. But to be able to do that, you have to stop him in your tracks. And then Canelo is also at that point where the mind game, when somebody's sitting there, if you're fighting with somebody and you're really trying your hardest and you're moving around, you're jabbing, and your corner's telling you you're doing great, and that guy's standing there with his hands down and he's walking in on you, that mentally wears you down.
You know, Dak, I mean, Alex, just to comment on your comment about Canelo, you know, you have a point, and I think round one shows what I mean, and it shows what you mean. Yes, Canelo was the aggressor. He wasn't making anything happen in the first part of that round. Plant was, you know, using his jab, just like we all agree. You know, they weren't stinging jabs. They, you know, they were nuisance jabs. You know, but because Plant didn't fall for Canelo's, you know, come and attack me so I can counterpunch you. And he did it later in the fight as well. He actually, the one round, he was leaning against the ropes trying to coax Plant in on him. Then he goes to Plan B where he does deliver and he is busy with his punches like he did in the second half of round one. That's why I thought he won that round, because he did come on not strong, not in big flurries, but the six or seven shots that he landed as it totaled in that round were all substantial. And I don't know what the you know, punch count was, because I don't really pay attention, but I know Plant landed, you know, quite a few jabs, but not one was substantial, in my opinion.
Right. No, I agree with you. And that's the thing about it, was that that's where I was trying to, you know, I was stammering through it, but I was saying, you know, you're doing this sort of, at least I am, this math in my head where, okay, that was four or five partial jabs that were somewhat, you know, grazing, and Canelo landed two hard body shots. Well, how much, what wins? And that's the thing about this, is that, and that's what I mean by brutal economy, is that as the rounds go on, Canelo is still, usually a few of those rounds, he's landing fewer punches, but they are damaging, mean punches you don't want to get hit with. And the other thing that's odd about it is that, and this is much more with that Mayweather Roy Jones style, there's not a lot of jabs. Canelo throws, in that counterpunching style, power punches, big rights, big left hooks, big uppercuts. He doesn't throw pesky jabs. His range finding is that he's incredible with distance. He really, and there was this cool little defensive duel at one point. I think it was in the fourth, actually, where you had Canelo's side-to-side head movement versus the lateral movement of stepping back and forth, that, you know, like little 6 feet back and forth that Plant kept using, and they both were missing. They were making each other miss. And then, like you had mentioned, then Canelo shifted gears for that last round, last minute of the round, and landed a lot more punches. And I think that is one of those things where a lot of people, when you do that against a guy like Golovkin, that's how those fights were so close, because you know, he could steal that round in that last minute.
You know, hey Dax, I think that a great way to describe Canelo, his boxing style, you know, without getting technical, like a layman's turn, it would be, I think he does extremely well breaking his fighters down. If you look at Canelo, the one thing you can say about him, regardless of how he does it, because here we are, we're given three different opinions, you know, of different ways of how he does it. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is that he knows how to break down a fighter, right?
Yeah, that's the most important thing. Just little my notes real quick from the fight where, you know, round one, it was close. Plant came out fast, faster than Canelo expected. Plant took the round using the jab. Then in the second, Plant looked flashy, but he wasn't effective. He couldn't do things that Canelo did. Canelo landed harder. And then in the third, I said, you know, Plant again is moving. He's making Canelo go after him. Plant is still jabbing, but the last 30 seconds, Canelo lands body shots that brings a reaction from Plant Canelo wanted. Plant is going to regret these body shots later on, and that's slowly what happened. And, you know, as the notes just go on, you know, and as the round go by, but the Alex made a great point in terms of who do you want to be, or, you know, which is more damaging, the 10 jabs or, you know, the hard power punches? You know, how do you really judge which is more telling? If it was a fight like Gaddy Ward, where in that 10th round, remember, Gaddy goes down from that bad body shot. You think it's over, he gets up, and all of a sudden he lets his hands go, and he hurts Mickey. And if it's back and forth like that, it's really hard to tell. But when somebody is getting peppered with 4 and 5 shots, and then they get caught with 2 shots that just pause them, and you can see on their face, everything drains out of them. Think to yourself afterwards, who would you have rather been? The guy that got slapped, or the guy that, you know what, sat there, you know, and wished that he had taken the night off?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, no, you're right about that. But the thing is, yeah, it depends on the fighter. I mean, a great point was in that fight. Which fight was it? It was the fight where he stayed down. Man, we're getting some bad. Yeah.
Well, who stayed down?
In the undercard fight, it was Romeo.
Oh,
In the Juan Pablo Romeo, he lost his first fight, and he was dropped, and he just sat there and just figured, yeah, I had enough, you know. And and the round before that, he was dropped. He took a knee and, you know, got his faculties together, which was smart. But then after that, he stayed down and figured that was it.
And that's, but Elvis Rodriguez was doing tremendous body work. That is one of the things that people don't understand, even though how many times announcers say it, how many times fighters say it. You would rather take 5, 6, 7, 8 headshots than you would a body shot. Take De La Hoya versus Hopkins, for example. When Hopkins just caught De La Hoya with that quick liver punch, and all of a sudden 2 seconds later, De La Hoya goes down, and see him pounding the mat, because they don't realize exactly what that takes out of you. And then when you're being slowly broken down like that, there's really not much you can't breathe, no matter how much road work you've done, because you're inside, your organs are internally bruised. And that's the beauty of body work. And body work doesn't get as much credit as it should. But when you're using it like a Julio Cesar Chavez, when you use it like a Triple G, when Triple G did that to Matthew Macklin inside the Garden, or you do it like a Canelo Alvarez, you're not going to get these early knockouts. You're going to get these later knockouts. But my point of the matter is, that is boxing. You know, that's really the art of the sweet science. It doesn't even have to be flashy. It's just throwing the punches and landing them in the right places. Almost like bare knuckle boxing, where, you know, they don't throw as many punches as regular boxing because they make sure they throw that punch to the right spot, you know, to preserve their fist. In that meaning, if that makes any sense.
Alex, it does. Alex, they had this feature, you know, Showtime never ceases to amaze me, but they had this feature, trainer tracks. And they showed Freddie Roach in action during the Elvis Rodriguez fight that we were just talking about. I just want to know, what the hell is he saying? I mean, it's bad. You know, I don't know how these fighters understand them. You know, I don't know. They must spend a lot of time in the gym with what he's... I thought it was pretty sad, to be honest with you. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I did think that he, it definitely seemed that, you know, you could hear that disease is progressing, I guess. That,
yeah.
It definitely sounds worse.
Yeah,
Which is sad. But
it's got to be tough as a fighter, you know, and it's like, you know, you're bringing this guy on board because, you know, of his pedigree, and are you really getting instruction? I don't know.
Well, it seems that he's still, you know, I mean, they won. They did really well.
Yeah, but, you know,
it wasn't a great card, you know. They were having them, you know, they were pushing that betting thing. And I was like, really, is there anything here that's worth betting on? Because all the favorites won.
Well,
two undefeated fighters lost.
Yeah, but they weren't the favorites.
Yeah, but were they still the favorite? But they were still
yeah.
They were prospects. You know, the
But I mean, they were heavy underdogs.
Just real quick, jumping back to Elvis Rodriguez, because I mean, he seemed like one of the most promising prospects on the card of prospects. I looked at him, and my notes say, he's a headhunter. He's got no jab, and he has no defense. You know, he's got power, and he's tall. He needs to work on that stuff. You know, when you start looking at records and who they fought, and he fights his first tough fight, and he lost. You know, so maybe it is time to get another trainer.
I thought he looked a lot better. I thought he looked the best tonight than I've ever seen him. In fact, I think him losing was one of those cases where sometimes losing can actually be a good thing, because tonight I seen a better variety of punches from Elvis Rodriguez. I seen a more patient Elvis Rodriguez. I seen new wrinkles to his game. I thought he was more versatile. I thought he was more accurate. So I think the Mims loss actually kind of told him that, you know what, you can't just go out there and blast everybody out, and it's better to learn that now than it is later.
Final thoughts on Canelo before we talk about the next big fight real quick. There's no question, in my opinion, he's number one pound for pound. I also believe that he's seemingly getting better and better. He knows how to break down his fighters. He beats them mentally, physically. His weakness, okay, they pointed it out on the broadcast. He really doesn't know how to break down the ring. But I think his ring savvy and his persistence overcomes that, because he eventually has fighters doing what he wants anyway. I don't know. It's going to be tough to think what kind of challenge he has for himself next, other than what one of you guys suggested earlier, that he go back into the light heavyweight division. He seemingly has gotten stronger and stronger. At first, I remember us talking, when he started moving up, Canelo lost his power at this weight division. Then all of a sudden, he knocked out Kovalev, and it seems he's found the secret weapon. He's got power since the Kovalev knockout, in these bigger weights. It will be interesting to see. What's your final thoughts on him, Dax?
I think that, as they've stated, as a matter of fact, just 2 days ago, they were really, truly wanting the Beterbiev fight. I think Beterbiev is a guy who has such brutal power. I think he's a harder hitter than Kovalev, and that might be a mistake, but I do think that Canelo can outbox him. I really think that in terms of anybody between 168 and 175, and again, Beterbiev would have to knock Canelo out, and that's no easy task. But I think the only one that can match him in skill set wise, who is MIA, is Dmitry Bivol. I really don't think that Demetrius Andrade wants this fight as much as he says he wants this fight. He may want that payday, but I really don't think that he would do any better than Billy Joe Saunders, or would he do any better than Caleb Plant. I really don't think David Benavidez, who I'm a big fan of, is ready to win there against a Canelo right now. David Benavidez has his own personal problems outside the ring that he has to get straightened out first. Other than that, there's really nobody at 168 pounds for him. There's really nobody at 160 pounds for him. So Canelo, more or less, has going to have to move up to 175 pounds to really test himself, because he has reached that level, just like Floyd Mayweather did, just like, before him, Oscar De La Hoya did, like Lomachenko, you name whatever great it is. When fans, no matter what you do, no matter how well you perform, start finding a reason to either detract from you, call you a cheater, call the guy you beat overrated, or, say stuff like, as the judge is in your pocket, which was my last comment on social media. Nobody can say he has the judges in his pocket, because he ended that with a vicious, vicious knockout. There's nothing else for Canelo to do but to test himself at 175 and try his luck. Other than that, I think Canelo should stick around here, make a few defenses, and retire.
Hey, Alice, what's your thoughts? I mean,
one thing. Is it just me, or the last couple of fights, these finishes, was this not, did that ending, did that almost really seem like Canelo was taking out a little bit of that pent-up aggression and those bad feelings from that press conference? if you go and rewatch that stoppage, because the way Canelo chased him down, and even as Plant was going through the ropes, Canelo's leaning in and punching him in the face.
He does that to everybody. That's what makes him so exciting, to be honest with you. But Alex, you know, what's next for Canelo? Because according to Durrell, he deserves to fight him.
Yeah, that's a joke. That to me was just, I thought was kind of funny, because that's something, you know, that you hear like on a Friday Night Fights thing. I don't know. I don't want to knock it, because I just had such a positive feeling from the Canelo fight. I think I agree with Dax that I think and the idea of him fighting Beterbiev would be absolutely tremendous. That, if we get that in 2022, that would just be phenomenal.
It's not a smart fight for Canelo, though.
That is such a dangerous fight.
I know.
And that's what makes it absolutely mouthwatering. Think about that. That is the Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder at 175. And because the skills of Canelo... And you have the most dangerous puncher, you could argue, in the sport of Beterbiev. I would hate to be punched by him, because the thing about Wilder is that you get punched, you get, you know, one shot, you're out. You wake up tomorrow. With Beterbiev, it's in the back of the head.
He's relentless.
He is. And I think that would be a dangerous fight the whole night. For Canelo, it would be tremendous, because yes, he would have to box. I think Bivol would be more likely, I think.
That's a great fight.
I think that's a good fight.
I've said it here for years. I think Bivol beats him. I don't know about now with the layoff, but you know, the Bivol that he was before the pandemic, and that's not to take anything away from Canelo, and I still think Canelo pound for pound. And I'm not saying Bibble's pound for pound. I just think his style is all wrong, because he's right in front of you moving around Lomachenko-like, Floyd Mayweather-like, and he has a little bit of power, and he can take a punch.
And he fights up to his level of competition, Dax.
If you can take a punch like what he took from Joe Smith Jr.
Right.
And knock him down.
And the other thing is that he can box.
And that's what I mean. He has everything wrong for Canelo.
Yeah.
He's busy. He can jab. And those are the things we know Canelo has some difficulty with. However, tonight we saw that Canelo looked better tonight and showed he could do better against a guy who's a mover and a jabber than he was against Canelo. And that was just two years ago, almost to the day. So to me, that was impressive, because this guy was a better boxer than Kovalev.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to get into the next big fight before, you know, the crow starts crowing. But
the clocks went back.
Oh, not yet. No, not yet. We'll pick that up in about a half hour. In a half hour, we'll be back and go back in time. We'll be back to the future. But Terrence Crawford.
So we can rewatch the end of the
Yeah.
Live.
Terrence Crawford against Sean Porter, the next big fight. I can't wait for this fight, to tell you the truth. I think we're going to see one for the ages. What do you guys think, Dax?
I hate to keep being repetitive, but I've said it so many times on the show that I think Sean Porter is his toughest opponent at 147, due to the fact that Sean Porter is so physically strong. He has such great stamina, and he never stops punching. He never stops coming forward. I think actually Sean Porter has a great chance of beating him, as long as Sean Porter could be a little bit more accurate. If not, what's going to happen? Sean Porter could very well end up on the canvas, just like he ended up with late in the Errol Spence fight, and just like he ended up with against Adrian Broner, where he gets caught in between those punches, those wide punches, except Terrence Crawford's a little bit more accurate. And Terrence Crawford, if he just has you a little bit discombobulated, we see him turn into a whole new fighter. Talk about a guy that has a mean streak. And so Sean Porter, as much as I love him, he's got a little bit of that Mike Tyson-esque type thing where he can't box going backwards. We've seen that against Ugas.
Yeah, but that's my big question, Alex, because you know, Terrence Crawford, I agree with Dax. Terrence Crawford hasn't faced an opponent like Sean Porter, in the sense that he's coming forward regardless of what you're throwing at him. You could be hitting him with the kitchen sink and he's not going to slow down. How does Crawford react?
I think that's why this fight's going to be a lot of fun to watch, because we don't know. He hasn't fought a guy like this at 147. A pressing grinder type of fighter like Porter, who has that just, you know, oodles and oodles of courage. I do think that it's going to be a good fight. I'm really looking forward to it. And I think that this is the thing that, as much as I just made it sound like, I'm so high on Canelo, he's the best fighter in the sport. If Crawford, I think, to me, Crawford has slipped back out of that number one spot because of inactivity. And just really, it's disappointing to me how good fights can't be, he just can't make good fights.
You know what, though? I'm going to interrupt you. That's not Crawford's fault. I have said for years that Bob Arum is holding Crawford back. He has the guy that hasn't seeked out the best fights for him. He's the one that's keeping him inactive. But listen, he's lucky that Crawford is loyal to him. It's true. Yeah. It's true.
But the thing is, remember, the best want to fight the best. The best don't want to sit on the shelf. We talk about the Four Kings. That was such a great era. Would Tommy Hearns have just said, yeah, you know what, I'm going to sit out for 8 or 9 months?
I don't think that they don't have the juice anymore.
No matter whose fault it is, we know the pound-for-pound rankings are mythical, they're honorary, they're opinionated, but it's unfair to the guys, whether or not it's Canelo, whether or not it's Usyk, or whether or not it's Inoue, who is absolutely my favorite fighter in the sport, currently anyway. It's unfair to them to be placed below Terrence Crawford, who has been fighting Kell Brook, who's been fighting Mean Machine, who's been fighting Amir Khan, while these guys have been fighting the very best, to sit there and say, you know what? You get the spot, you get whatever, you know. It's kind of like being met, you know, it's kind of like, and again, I'm not saying that those guys are better than him. I'm not saying that they're not better than him. What I'm saying is it's just not fair to take away, detract from them and their accomplishments and them being active, whether or not it's Crawford's fault, whether or not it's Bob Arum's fault. Point of the matter is, boxing is a what have you done lately sport. And lately, those guys have done a whole lot more.
Right. And I think that's the thing, is that if he wins and wins big, and man, if he stops Sean Porter, this will be tremendous. And he'll make a huge argument for himself for pound for pound.
And I'm not saying
fighter of the year.
Well, he's 34. He's 34 now.
I'm not saying skill-wise.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. Yeah, exactly. Because skill-wise, he's already definitely that's why he deserves to be in that orbit of the top three.
Yeah, I'm not saying skill-wise. It's just not fair, like I said.
In terms of the people, what you have accomplished, that is, to me, always should go further in the part. And I think what you're saying, too, is that should always go further in the pound-for-pound rankings, is what you've actually done. And if Terrence Crawford was to knock out Sean Porter, that would be tremendous. Because I do think that his record isn't what it might be. That we're always due for that, right? his record isn't what it could be at 147. So beating Sean Porter would be a tremendous feather in his cap, as they say.
I don't know. I think you should get credit. I mean, Kell Brook, Amir Khan, Benavidez Jr., Jeff Horn. You know, I mean, those are pretty decent fighters, you know.
Yeah,
but even Errol Spence's welterweight credentials are better. So, you know, I do think
How do you figure? Who realistically, who has he fought?
He's beaten more welterweights.
Alex.
Not good ones.
Errol Spence.
Yeah. He has not. Who's he beaten?
He's only beaten
one
genuine welterweights. Ocampo and Sean Porter.
Sean Porter is his best.
Sean Porter. And Sean Porter, Danny Garcia, Mikey Garcia.
Wait a minute. Garcia. The Sean Porter fight was an arguable fight. It was a split decision. A lot of people, including myself.
I didn't think it was.
And Danny Garcia gave him everything he could handle, too. And Mikey Garcia, you're going to call that, you know? So, I mean, come on.
I think he beat Cal Brook, was one of them. He beat him before he was at Damaged Goods. He beat Lamont Peterson. These are all welterweights.
Cal Brook was already Damaged Goods. Because, remember,
he wasn't twice damaged.
Yeah. But that was a close fight. But other than that, when you look at his credentials.
Still, those are more welterweights.
If you look at since Cal Brook, you got Lamont Peterson, a former 140-pounder, Carlos Ocampo, who I don't think...
Yeah, but Dax, you can say that about everybody. They're all former 140-pounders.
Yeah, Mikey Garcia, Sean Porter, and Danny Garcia. I'm talking about in terms of genuine 140-pounders.
Mikey Garcia wasn't even a genuine...
And where are the genuine 100-pound, 140-pound, 47-pounders on Crawford?
He moved up in weight. The same thing. He moved up in weight.
I'm not disputing it, Alex. You know, I agree with you.
That's what I'm saying is that Terrence Crawford, this is could go a long way.
Yeah, but since he moved up to welterweight, I mean, Jeff Horn, Benavidez Jr., Amir Khan, Kell Brook, you know, those are all good fighters. I'm not listen. You know, Spence Jr. Everybody had high hopes for him, and it just seems that it's not heading in the direction we all thought. He's not heading in the direction I thought. I can honestly say.
I say about a lot of PBC fighters. I was talking with somebody earlier today.
Me.
We were talking about the best fights. get a lot of the PBC fighters and the route that they put their champions. Adonis Stevenson, you know, tragic to see what happens. Happened to him. Glad he's doing better. But look how long he remained champion. Look how they gave him such easy fights and they maneuvered around. Same thing for Deontay Wilder. Look how they maneuvered him around and they gave them easy fights. The World Boxing Super Series was brought up in that conversation, saying, you know, has actually started to help bring these unification bouts. That's when we had the Taylor Ramirez after that. Then, you know, we have the Canelo one here tonight. And then, you know, we had Usyk moving up and beating Joshua, because more or less the O is starting to slowly lose its luster. It's okay to lose your O.
That's great.
People are really getting tired of 45 belts. It's okay to have 4 losses, but we do not want to find out or try to keep track of 4 champions at all times.
Let's see what they do tonight, because they really made a big deal out of the unification, and they had all of the 4 heads of the major sanctioning bodies had some kind of sit down meeting a couple weeks
ago. And that was available for the my one last comment on this is, and not to take away from him, but Jermaine Taylor did not unify a division. He may beat Bernard Hopkins, who already unified the division, but the difference between Bernard Hopkins, Canelo, Josh Taylor, Alexander Usyk, is that these guys collected their belt, and Terrence Crawford, they collected their belts one by one. It's different collecting the belts one by one than it is beating one guy who has all those belts.
No doubt. Well, listen, fellas, I look forward to next time when we will be talking about Terrence Crawford and his fight against Sean Porter. No. Yes, Sean Porter. I'm looking forward to the fight. Loving it. Guys, thanks a lot. Love these late nights, you know. But
it's only 1:30.
Yeah, well, not yet. No. Not yet. You got 15 minutes and it'll be back. No, 2 o'clock. It's 2 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
And then 2 o'clock, what are we doing? Falling back.
And don't forget to check your smoke detector.
Yes.
Hey, 2 thanks. O'clock, then it's going to be 1 o'clock. You know,
wear your seatbelt.
Hey, listen.
Call tonight before it turns out groundhog.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. You were going to say that. All right, fellas. We'll see you next time.
Good night.
Oh, Alex with the throwing in the last thing. Hey, just before I go, I wanted to address a couple of emails real quick. So last time we had a show, we were talking about turduckins, and I gave credit to John Madden. But my man James straightened me out. He says, Billy, the late Cajun chef Paul Prudhomme invented, when I probably pronounced that wrong, so I apologize, invented the turducken. It was a turkey stuffed with duck, stuffed with a chicken, for his New Orleans restaurant in the 70s. I remember John Madden pinning the legs on the turkey so he could give drumsticks to multiple players after the Dallas' Thanksgiving game, but it had nothing to do with turducken. He's right. He did that. But I'm telling you, John Madden called it a turducken. But I'm glad that James straightened me out on the inventor and what a true turducken is. So thanks, James, on that. And one last thing. My man, Augie from Riverhead, wanted me to ask. He asked me to mention, he says, what happened to Keith Thurman? Whatever happened to Keith Thurman? You know, Keith Thurman was a guy that I liked, you know. He was brought up the right way. His first 12 fights, two of them had winning records, but, you know, they were decent fights. He really faced his first good opponent in his 18th fight, Orlando Lara, and he started to climb. That's when he was already making a name for himself. He followed that with wins against Carlos Quintana, Jan Zavik, Diego Chavez was a great fight. So was Jesus Soto Carras, two fights that he won by knockout, late round stoppages back in 2013. And then, you know, his career started taking a different turn. His fight against Julio Diaz was good. Leonard Bundo was a guy that everyone thought was great, but he really wasn't. He had one of those records that looked good. Robert Ghost Guerrero gave him some trouble. Luis Collazo got stopped but was giving him trouble to that point. Sean Porter, I thought, was the best win of Keith Thurman's career. Danny Garcia, you can make the argument Danny won. Josito Lopez, in his fight in 2019, in January 2019, in my opinion, got robbed. I thought Josito Lopez should have won that fight, and he moved up two weight classes. And in his last fight, Augie, if you recall, he fought Manny Pacquiao almost 2.5 years ago, and he lost. What's he doing now? Well, he's not scheduled to fight anybody anytime soon. There's been talk always about him fighting somebody, but he doesn't. I don't think he wants a fight. I think he lost the hunger to fight, and I think he's got a good gig chatting like he's something special. I think Keith Thurman was a great example of a fighter that you know, basically let us down. He had all the makings of being a talented fighter, and he didn't do it. That's my opinion. But thanks for the emails. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Just remember, we're going to be doing another show immediately following the Sean Porter fight against Terrence Crawford coming up on November 20th. So until then, make sure you tune in next time. Same bat time, same bat channel. And until then, I'll leave you with this. Ciao, baby.